Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
America Meditating Blog Talk Radio Show. We collect wisdom, hear stories, and inspire each other. I'm Sister Jenna. Tune in live from Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Do you like to meditate? Have you tried to meditate? Have you struggled with meditation? Why don't you visit one of the Brahma Kumaris Meditation Center? Visit brahmakumaris.org.
This is water. Can you feel this, Helen? Yes, water! Helen, it's water!
Deaf and blind, Helen Keller overcame her world of darkness. Foresight, pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
There's no place like home.
Getting home safely is just a click away. Find the right seat for your little one's age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat for more information. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Do you want to power up your day? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Can't manage the speed? Time to get off the grid and get into the heart. A groundbreaking meditation CD for people on the move.
And at this time, I choose to get off the grid and step inside the heart. In this meditation, I invite you to become aware of the two types of consciousness that reside within the soul. Let us choose the consciousness of light over the darkness of past stories, the history that gets into our way. Let us now remember our connection to the supreme energy, the supreme soul, the being of light. For far too long, we have allowed the external forces to dictate our inner force. And at this time, I choose to get off the grid and step inside the heart, to be myself. I choose to no longer be under the influence of what the world tells me, what my parents have told me, my spouse, friends, or anyone who has been a negative influence in my life. In this meditation, I stand strong in the original, eternal, imperishable worth of the soul. I, the being of light, the soul of power, I step into the heart and I become a being Everyone to the America Meditating Radio Show. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. We're broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museum, and we're hoping that you'll be able to come and visit our new location at 9525 Georgia Avenue. It's been a very interesting dimension because for anyone who's visited the old space, the minute you enter, I've always heard comments like, it feels like home, it feels like another world, it feels like me. And since we have been under construction of the new location, I've been playing the mantra, sacred mantra from the East, Om, inside of the space. And I went actually there yesterday and I was experiencing the vibrations of this mantra and how it can shift just the way that we're feeling and the consciousness that it can stimulate in our minds. As you know, 24/7 on demand, you'll have an opportunity to tune in to the America Meditating Radio Show. If you have the free app, Pause for Peace, or if you happen to be signed into TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, or AHA Radio. As a syndicated radio show, we're really humbled by the fact that spirituality, meditation, becoming better people, enhancing our lives, it's really becoming of interest in this particular great nation. In areas like India, where we're from, it's just what we're born with. From the moment you're in your womb, your parents have you in a temple every day, or in your home, there's a temple. But do know, with 33 million gods in India, it makes it sometimes competitive for us to see which god to really worship, whereas when we come onto the path of spirituality, it's really a sense of connecting to the worth of the soul and having only the consciousness of the one supreme being, who is like your power source that we plug into and regain and recapture all of the energies that are happening within the being. We're looking forward to interviewing and having a conversation with author Dr. Margaret Placentra Johnson, who is also from the Washington metropolitan area. After practicing optometry for over 3 decades, helping people to see better in the physical world, Dr. Placentra Johnston now offers clearer vision of a different sort, a broader perspective about religion and spirituality than what the conventional world typically recognizes. The author of Faith Beyond Belief, Stories of Good People Who Left Their Church Behind, Dr. Johnston feels the spiritual development stages have the power to bring an end to religious intolerance and should be part of the general knowledge of our culture can't agree with you more. Faith Beyond Belief has won a number of awards, including being named the gold winner of the 2013 Nautilus Book Award in Religion and Spirituality. And today we are proud to welcome Dr. Margaret Placentra Johnston to the America Meditating Radio Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Sister Jenna. Thank you. I am delighted to be speaking with you.
Oh, I'm delighted because I didn't even know that you were next door. It's in McLean, where
right.
We also have the other ashram, so that's wonderful.
We're neighbors.
Please tell us a little bit about your inspiration and interest in religion and spirituality, and what's actually the difference between the two?
Okay, well, my interest started way back in the late 1960s. I was in high school. I had been brought up Catholic. Then I went to a Catholic high school, and lo and behold, to my shock, the priest in the religion class started telling us all that you learned back in elementary school, not exactly true. You know, heaven and hell are not literally places, and, you know, God is not exactly this being in the sky. Well, I was just so intrigued by that, you know, it just really interested me. So I felt I should go to a Catholic college so I could learn more about this. And then in college, I just kind of, they started asking, having us question everything, and I really just reasoned myself out of belief. But then I learned more about the stages and spirituality, and that rekindled my interest. And as far as what is the difference between religion and spirituality, the way I see it, I would say religion is sort of more about the institution, you know, making rules and setting dogma, whereas spirituality, I feel, is something more inward from the individual person, something the person feels a sense of connection with the greater picture of the world.
I like that. You know, growing up with a Hindu father and a Roman Catholic mother, I had personal opinions in terms of I felt that religion was designed by the creation, the children, not necessarily God. And to this date, I've never heard God say that he is Christian or Jewish or Muslim. And so I really had questions within myself as a child where I thought that there's got to be a source in which this energy derives from. So when I got onto the path of spirituality and in Raj Yoga practice, I realized that he's a supreme being and it's a quality. And if I connect to that quality, I can regain stuff that I've just lost because of going through life. And I like the whole concept of, you know, religion and spirituality. I know many say it's dogmatic and stuff, but also another thing that I questioned was many of the prophets didn't necessarily say, I'm here to create a religion. They were looking for answers within themselves. So they were actually living a spiritual life. And then after they passed on, then people started to deem it a particular story or name or title. And I'm wondering, at this stage in your life, what are some of your core beliefs? Would you find them to be more on the spiritual side, or would you say that your core beliefs still come from some religious understanding that you were influenced by when you were young?
Well, obviously, it would have to be a mix of both, but certainly more on the spiritual side. I can no longer, at this point in my life, see a given religion as holding exclusive truth, because in accordance with something like the perennial philosophy, you realize that all religions seem to be an attempt on the part of a certain local culture to connect with something larger than themselves. And so there is a bigger truth than what any given religion preaches.
Makes sense. Nice. Let's go on to the book, Faith Beyond Belief, how you came to write it, and why did you select such an interesting title?
Well, at one point, I'm going to say this was around 2004, I started to become very aware that a lot of our society operates in ignorance of the fact that there is and should be a bigger story about religion than, you know, the Bible says this, and so we're going to discriminate against certain types of people because it says that in the Bible, and, you know, just seems that a lot of these, the way certain segments of society interpret the biblical message is very, very literal and divisive and maybe perhaps immature. So I started thinking someone should really write a book about those stages and make it comprehensible to the average person, because all the books about the stages are a little bit esoteric, a little harder to understand. And I kept thinking someone should do this, and then I thought, oh, maybe
that's
someone to me. And I was a little annoyed with myself because it was such a terribly ambitious project. It was a lot of work. But I felt I came to see it as my duty to do this. And the way I chose to explain the stages in a way that I thought the average person would understand would be to use real-life stories that illustrate people going through these stages and just show, you know, let's just concretize what does it take to get from one type of belief system that you were taught as a child to some type of broader spirituality. So the book was my humble attempt to explain an extremely comprehensive topic, but I thought it would just make it easier for a certain type of people who haven't...
Now, have you gotten a lot of flack from the church? Because, you know, in the book it says Faith Beyond Belief, stories of good people who left their church behind, where people could sometimes interpret that this book is about good people leaving the church. But I know that there's much more than that. Could you elaborate?
Yes, there is much more than that, Sister Jenna. And to my surprise, I have not gotten too much flack from people within the church, within any church. I figure either they do not understand it or it hasn't been presented to them, that, you know, they haven't come across my book. I'm not sure which. But the point being, it is about a much bigger story, and it's not about, you know, is the religion true or are atheists right? You know, I'm trying to show that there's a integration amongst all those viewpoints, and it's actually sort of a trajectory. So many experts, this is not my work, but it's the work of many different experts, have shown that it's appropriate around late adolescence to early adulthood to begin questioning what you were taught as a child, be it about religion or really just about anything else. And unless you have gone through that questioning stage, then the beliefs that you hold are not as personal. One of the theorists says they're tacitly held. You know, the beliefs are deeply felt, but tacitly held in that what I call the faithful stage, that before the questioning stage. So the people haven't really gone through the analysis of what they themselves feel from within, whether it's true. Then that questioning is a little dangerous, because it can risk, you know, when people start applying those questions, hopefully late adolescence or early adulthood, they start applying those questions, there is a significant chance that they'll just reason themselves completely out of all belief. And
right.
I feel strongly that unless religious leaders offer people a different view other than the literal line, they're going to lose an awful lot of people, because in today's world, trying to believe something as parochial or provincial as only my religion is true is very hard.
I agree. I think that individuals that are practicing their faith or leading particular faith traditions are being challenged to step deeper within themselves and to reconnect to a very authentic place. After a while, it becomes business as usual, and it stops being a house or a home or a space to serve souls, to be empowered, so that their weaknesses don't overcome their godly qualities. And I get that. And I think that all of these open conversations that are awakening individuals on the path, and I think there are many religious leaders that are in particular boxes that they have done it for decades, that they really don't know what to do after that, that they are seeking some sort of a spiritual resolve within themselves to make some shifts. I just think it requires courage, and it requires perhaps more conversations and books like yours for them to really get triggered. I know that you say that the people in the stories are, you know, you said that some of them in themselves are rejecting their own religious beliefs in favor of a more mature form of spirituality. When we talk about a mature form of spirituality, I immediately think about no more sitting there, wearing tie-dye, emptying your mind, chanting a mantra. For me, a mature form of spirituality is an individual who faces themselves and, you know, keeps trying to bring virtues to the forefront, even when their weaknesses seem so much more stronger. Example, I want to get angry and yell at you because you're just so ridiculous, versus, you did something ridiculous, but let me accept that's the part you have to play, but let me keep my divinity and see if there's another way that we can reroute this situation. To me, that's a spiritual maturity, you know? And I think that our country has been conditioned to believe, wear your tie-dye, do long hair, put on some funny clothes, wear beads, chant mantras, have a guru, and you're spiritual. Or what I've gotten a lot is people say, oh, I do my 20 minutes of meditation every day.
Right.
Just like, yeah. what's your rendition of mature spirituality?
Well, certainly we could write volumes on this issue, but the simplistic way I try to explain what I'm talking about is through these stages. At the what we call the faithful stage, that pre-critical, before the person has gone through this questioning stage, their belief system is kind of ethnocentric. In other words, they believe that their religion is right, it's the only one that's true, and everyone should convert to their religion. So that's kind of, it's like my group is right and everyone else is wrong. as you go through that questioning stage, the feeling worldview tends to kind of expand somewhat so that you're more inclusive of perhaps all people or at least all Americans or, you know, more inclusive than just my, you know, Christian, Baptist, you know, whatever it is, church is the only right one. It gets a little broader. And then at the more mature stage, the person is kind of all inclusive. So they see themselves as part of like everything in the universe, not just all people, but they connect with animals, with plants, you know, with the spirit world, with all of that. They don't exclude anything. So I would say that, you know, that broader worldview where you include everything is more mature is a dangerous word to use, but sometimes to get to the truth, we have to use dangerous words. But point is that an awful lot of our culture is expounding on that ethnocentric one, you know, we are a Christian nation, we have to make sure all the, you know, we have to list the Ten Commandments here and there. And that's, there's nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments, but I think morality has to go way beyond that. Spirituality has to go way, 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 way beyond that. And we have to get our way to this universal truth where we include everyone. We feel connected with everyone and everything in the universe.
You know, I have to tell you, that just touched me, what you said, because I've been there. I've been on my own spiritual path for over 20 years, and I have felt that I had all the answers. And that, yeah, you know, what we're teaching at the Brahma Kumaris is absolutely right. And I don't know why everyone else is not doing that. But you are correct. You are so correct. Because when you become more mature, you realize that you will karmically be pulled into a vortex of consciousness to support your personal story. But if it's deeply spiritual, it is always willing to embrace everyone's own path and own story of being. And I'm not saying that we always embraced everyone, but there was always like, yeah, but they don't, you know, and just that, but
right.
They don't. But I just would know that's not it, Jen. You're still, you need to do your work on yourself. And now, from having puppies in the ashram to being able to have a meditation museum that invites everyone out there, I'm beginning to understand what the mature form of spirituality is, and I'm so appreciative of that. And I want to now move us on to globalization and spiritual development, because in policies, and especially in Washington, D.C., where I have the fortune of serving, you know, leaders from all different genres, when I really go to them, I keep trying to initiate that we need to put spirituality in policy-making agendas. And, of course, it keeps going over the head time and time again. But I won't stop until it really gets into one person and says, yes, 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 this is what spiritual development is about. But what does globalization have to do with spiritual development?
Well, along with a host of other people who have studied this, I would put forth the notion that these literal triumphalist type of religious stances, you know, where only my religion is right, it's got to be weakening in the face of, you know, global communications that we have now and the cultural intermixing. I mean, chances are wherever you live, you don't have, your next door neighbor is probably not of exactly the same nationality and religion that you are. And this is different from many, many years ago where people were kind of provincial. I mean, all the people they knew were the same culture and spoke the same language and had pretty much the same religion. But as we are, you know, kind of forced in a good sense to intermix with people from all different cultures and all different religions, it becomes very hard to restrict ourselves to those limiting beliefs that only one type of religion is true and only people who believe as I do could be saved. And so I really think that those literal religions are becoming somewhat ridiculous sounding in the face of, you know, all this cultural intermixing. And I think that unless spiritual leaders start embracing a bigger story that is not just this one religion, in other words, perhaps they might want to view our religion is a tradition and the other traditions are kind of just as good, but they're just a different way of, you know, expressing their culture. Unless they move forward into something like that, religion is likely to fade right out of the picture eventually. People will always have spiritual longings, but they're very prone to, say, inauthentic types of spirituality if they don't have someone lead them. You expressed earlier that type of...
And it's like everything, you know, even like if you're in a marriage, after a while you think that, you know, you know more than your husband. You know what I mean? It's just like we're all going through this process of elimination. And at the end of the game, I wonder if it's really just acceptance that is the law of thumb. Well, you know, Margaret, I want to thank you for the conversation that we have had today and really wanting to wish you all the best with your book, Faith Beyond Belief, Stories of Good People Who Left Their Church Behind. And generally, I usually ask my guests to leave us with a life quote that they're living by, as well as a website where individuals can get a hold of you if they wish to.
Okay, sure. Well, my website would be faithbeyondbelief-book.com, and it tells more about my book there. And as far as a life quote, I don't so much have a quote as maybe perhaps a personal theme, which is truth. And I feel that unless we, you know, are willing to deal with absolute truth, even when it's painful, we are living like a partial life. And so I like to see people open up to bigger truths than what they were brought up with religiously.
Makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much for joining us on the air, and all the very best.
Thank you, Sister Jenna. I've enjoyed this.
Same here. Take care. Bye-bye. So we can definitely be getting a calling to do something over and over again, and you're thinking, somebody should do this, somebody should do that. Maybe that someone is you. I hope you've enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Margaret Pocentra Johnston, and please get a copy of her book, Faith Beyond Belief, Stories of Good People Who Left Their Church Behind. Maybe there's just something more that we're seeking at a much deeper level within our own being. Not to knock religion and say you're not doing it right, but I think just more than anything else for us to find out what we need to do better for ourselves. Been listening to America Meditating Radio Show, and as we end every show, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and we are here to learn to love each other the same. Don't forget to get your copy of Off the Grid Into the Heart Meditation CD. Just go to Off the Grid Into the Heart by Sister Jenna, and it should come up on iTunes or Amazon or wherever, and get a copy and let me know how it changed your world. We'll end with you from Lucinda Drayton on her You CD. Take care, everyone. All the best.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.